We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. We're looking into the scriptures and pertaining to the prophecy that Joel gave to us, speaking of the last days. But nevertheless, we've come to the place that we're in. It seems like the church has become at ease in the world, or in the Babylon. The world is considered to be Babylon because God has chosen to bring salvation through that precious blood of Jesus. And we need to understand that we have gone so far from the Word of God here in this country that we call the United States until we have backslid to some extent, or to a great extent, because we push God out of our schools. We pushed Him out of the Congress. We pushed Him out of just everything, just about it. And even to the preachers are preaching a less gospel than what really should be. They're preaching that it should be there, that we could compromise, we could do all sorts of things, but don't preach against sin. My friend, today, if we look into the book of Joel, and in the second chapter, he begins to talk to us there and write to us. He said, call to repentance and fasting. In the first verse there, he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the Lord's day is coming, for us it is nigh at hand. 15th verse of it, he says, again he reminds us, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that give suck to the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth and from his chambers, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen may rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? My friend, today, most of the churches have closed their doors on Sunday afternoon, have a hour, maybe 2 hours on Wednesday night service, where they do a lot of talking and other things and everything. But you mentioned revival to them in most places. They go to saying it's just not visible. The people are not ready for it. My friend, if they're not ready for a revival and the calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and their iniquities in this day that we live, God help us if they never do come to that place. But I pray thee that and ask God that you might stir the hearts of the people, lend them towards revival, that we can come and call upon the name of the Lord, repent of our ungodly ways, come out of Babylon, out of the sins of the world, and be not mixed and mingled with it, but come to the sound of the trumpet, which in usually most places it was used back then to draw them to battle. But at this particular place, he's drawing them to assemble themselves in the presence of God, to repent of their sins and iniquities, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They need to repent. We need revival in the world. The world has become so engulfed in sin and the cares of this life until we become as a Babylonians. They sought after the things of the world. They sought after riches and everything. What is the world looking for today? They're looking for peace, but peace is not going to come in the way that they're thinking about it. They're thinking a one world government will bring peace, and it's coming, my friend. One world system is upon us here. It's coming to be, but we need to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and give praise and glory unto him. We need to realize that we need to come out of Babylon, come out of the things of this world, not only out of the Catholicism and all these other false teachers, but we need to separate ourselves from the cares of this world, bringing forth and let God be more important to us than anything else, that we seek him with our whole heart. And he said, when you seek me with your whole heart, there I'll be found. We need a revival to come forth out throughout the world of repentance, not for some gathering together from some people that want to show themselves that they may be able to gain wealth from it, but they may be able to bring a revival there against sin that we can repent of. And therefore, the letting the God of this world being put down and the God of glory being exalted and lifted up in the hearts of the people, and bring forth revival, and let the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted into the hearts, not just in with your lips of praise, but from your heart offering up thanksgiving with praise and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, being repenting of our sins, turning away from the things, that we turn into the Lord Jesus Christ and seek after him and him only, because the cares of this world has engulfed people in such a manner until they're going to, excuse me, but they're going to hell in a handbasket. And the preachers of this world has come to be so compromised, and what few is preaching the gospel when you hear it, and if you hear it on TV or on a radio or something other, even on the computer, you turn it down or turn it off because you don't want to hear about your sins. You want to be like they was in Jeremiah when he told them that Israel was going into captivity for 70 years. They said, no, the false teacher said, just for 7 years. Then the king said, bring us and find us a prophet that will prophesy good unto us. For this man, in other words, Jeremiah was prophesying bad as far as they was concerned. And Jeremiah told him, if you find one, it will not be of God. But I want you to understand, my friend, I don't call myself to be nothing. I'm no prophet. I'm nothing but a mail carrier in this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive me of my sins, and he cleansed me by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm still just a worm in the sight of God, as grass of the field, as a vapor that appears and disappears. I'm nothing. But in the sight of God, I'm a chosen child of the King, and that's all that matters to me. What the world does with God is I'm concerned about the lost soul, not about the wealth and the money that can be gotten from the people by smooth speeches and fair tongues and these things, and promising them all the wealth in the world if they'll just contribute to their seed of their finances unto him. Plant your seed in the garden of God, that little mustard grain of faith. Push it, plant it into the salvation of God, and it will bring forth fruits of the Spirit of repentance unto the God, and God will bless you. My friend, it's time we begin to realize we need revival in this world that will bring forth the truth of God's teaching and call us back from the things of this world and call us back into the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, and bring us to the place of repentance. Let revival reign over and come forth out of the bosom of God and out of the Spirit by the Holy Ghost to bring forth revival into the hearts of the people, into the church, before it's too late. Wake up! It's time we begin to take a hold of the horns of the altar and asking God to forgive us of our indulging in the things of this world and putting him out and invite him back into our hearts, wholly seeking after him with our whole heart. And a God of creation will bless us and bring us forth there. My wife's got something other here that I'd like to read to you. It's called, Are We Comfortable in Babylon? It'll speak a lot for itself, but I want you to think about it. Are you comfortable in Babylon? If you are, my friend, it means that you're lost. If you're comfortable with the things of this world and you're having the pleasures of life and you're seeking after the pleasures of life to fulfill the lust of the flesh, then you have become comfortable in Babylon. You need to come out. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. Now, here's my wife. She's going to read this to you and bring it out to you. And may God bless you. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church.
Are we comfortable in Babylon? This is a sad epitaph for our country and our world. Time is short, and true Christians in our world seem to have gone to sleep at the wheel, so to speak. The enemy is at our doorstep. Still, we run and hide away. I wonder, are we afraid or just complacent? This is a time when we should be ready to speak up and speak out for what we believe. Have we forgotten what Jesus did for us, what blessings he has prepared for us, and what a price he paid for our salvation? So the greatest question is this: are we comfortable in Babylon? In contemplating the fact that we are comfortable in America as we parallel the great Babylon, here is the definition of Babylon. Babylon was an ancient city in Southwest Asia on the Euphrates River, famed for its magnificence and culture. A rich and magnificent city believed to be a place of excessive luxury and wickedness. There you have it. Could we any better describe our country this day? God blessed our land and gave us so much, and now we have turned our backs on God and given in to the wiles of the devil. We should be ashamed. Instead of standing up for what we say we believe, we are hiding away, sleeping our lives away, as the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Young people are being corrupted by the lies of the enemy. They are being led away in the name of good, which is anything but good. Soon, and very soon, the trap will snap shut, and those we have followed will laugh at our stupidity. Yes, as we have become comfortable in our Babylon, we sleep in the midst of our destruction. God is able to, in a twinkling of the eye, turn this world upside down. I am reminded of this in the scripture as Jesus stood before his accusers in John 19:10-11. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Have we, who profess to be Christians, forgotten the power and authority of God? Have we taken to the streets to march for the enemy? Or gone to sleep trying to hide away from what is to come? When all the while, had we marched as Christian soldiers, the enemies would have stopped in his tracks. So the choice remains, are we comfortable in Babylon? Have we decided that we will take our chances in this world of sin, living life hopeless, when in God's grace we could begin again? God clearly offers us life, life everlasting. Yes. The devil would lure us into death and hell, laughing all the way to the end. I will ask you this question again. Are we comfortable in Babylon? Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. May I ask you, Why have you turned away from the Savior who wants nothing more to give you than true life and bless you with peace and love? Many go through the motions of being religious, but turn away from that precious relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. What a precious invitation to step out of the mire of sin and confusion and come to Christ. Find a blessed relationship that will give you life and peace, hope, and a future. Oh, church, why have you become comfortable in Babylon? Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in the book of Revelations. Revelations 2:5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. O dead church, rise up and walk. Revelations 2:9-11. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear not of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that heareth an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. God is our comforter, our friend, and our waymaker. Revelations 2:16-17. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receiveth it. God loves us so much. The only place we will find true comfort is in the arms of Jesus. Revelations 2:24-29. But I say unto thee, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God is waiting to bless and renew your life. Revelations 3:2-3. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Be aware, the time of Christ is coming near. Revelations 3:8-11. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. where thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Be comfortable in Jesus, knowing that he is peace and salvation. And if you would like a copy of it, this was an email the precious sister sent us. If you would like a copy of it, you email it to ecompton31@yahoo.com. And if you would like to send us something we can share with others, you can send them to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. It's been a blessing this afternoon. I just love the Lord, and I like to share what God has given to me to share with you. We just pray that if something has been said that'll make you draw closer to the Lord and give you a desire to get out your Bible and read it. Time is drawing nigh. And as I say every time, every week, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. Even if the Lord doesn't come back, you are not promised tomorrow. And Jesus said in red, if you got a red letter Bible in Luke, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And as we said before, raising your hands and repeating after someone is not repentance. You have to be godly sorrow. You have to get down on your knees or just raise your hand, cry out to God, ask him to forgive you, and then turn around and don't do the same thing you did. And as Paul said, I die daily. Where he meant there was you are to repent every day. No matter what you may have done, you don't know about, or whatever. I have a prayer that I say before I lay my eyes down to sleep. I say, Lord, forgive me if I have done anything today to hurt you or to hurt my fellow men. Please, please forgive me. And when I lay down, I hear nothing until morning. I am one of those sound sleepers. And if you ask him every night to forgive you, you won't be tossing and turning and thinking, hey, I did that. I better tell somebody. Talk to God. He's got a record and he'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about going and confessing to somebody else. Jesus is our intermediator. He's the one that you need to talk to. These other people that you confess to, they mean nothing. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You got children who are lost? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Don't keep picking them up. After you put them on the altar, they're there. Let Jesus take care of them, and you'll see the results. By picking them up and taking them with you when you leave the church, or after you pray and you say, well, Lord, you're not answering this fast enough. Give it back to me and I'll take care of it myself. That is not taking your burdens to the Lord and leaving them there. You take them there, leave them, say, God, it's in your hands. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. We got to realize, my friend, that this word of God is wrote to us by men, as some people want. If you're going to believe what man says, or are you not going to believe what they say? Man wrote the Bible. True enough, he did, but they was inspired by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to write these things unto you and I. And as John wrote the book of Revelations that Jesus Christ gave to him about the seven churches of Asia at that time, He penned unto the one that was at Ephesus there, and he told them about the goodness that they had, the faith they had, and everything. But then he come up there and he tell them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, we have come to be so at ease, and we think that the grace of God is so efficient, and which it is sufficient. But, my friends, it's not going to be sufficient to cover your sins that you continue to walk in your sins and in the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, catering to the things of this world and forsaking the assembling together and putting God out of your life. The grace of God is not going to overbear that sin that you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, but simply because His grace. We are saved by grace through faith and belief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting that atoning price that He paid for our sins there on Calvary by the shedding of His blood and the giving of His life. We have remission of our sins. But if you don't call on Him in repentance, being sorrowful for your sins, and change your way of actions and let the Holy Ghost come into your life and make you a new creature, and you still continued in the same old way that you've been going all along, your religion is in vain. We need to understand that the love of God surpasses all of our understanding, but He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that through Him that the world might be saved. When He come to Mary, the angels spoke to Mary there and said she would conceive and bring forth a child. Well, she was wondering, how can this thing be? I have never known a man. She was a virgin. But the angel told her, he said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. My friend, it's got to come through repentance. It can't come by just raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you're on your way to heaven. It don't happen like that. You got to be turned around, turned from your sins. You got to come to Him, as it said, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and God will receive you. Many of the Jews back into the old economy, or the back in the Old Testament, when they were distorted and they was plagued with something other, you might say, and discomforted and down and out, they ripped their outer garment to show their grief and their sorrow. But the scripture says, don't rip your garments, but rend your heart and let God come into your life. Pour out your heart to God and let Him come in to bring salvation. But we've left that first love. We didn't lose it. We just walked off and left it in the most part. Thank God that He has shown me that I cannot go without Him. I need Him more today and more tomorrow and more from the rest of my days, however how long that might be. I need Him every day of my life. I need Him, for I understand and know that without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. I am just a worm that the earth is my mother and my sister, and I came out of the dust of the earth, and God created me in His own image, as He did all men and the first Adam, and brought us into sin. But praise be unto God that the second Adam, made a quickening spirit, came into us, that He gave Himself to redeem us from the sins, from the fall in the garden. And if you can't accept that and believe that, then my friend, the devil has got you by the nose and dragging you into hell, and you won't believe the word of God? Let me encourage you to read your Bible. See what it has to say. John recorded to the church and warned them each and every one, even to the first church. He said, they've left the first love. And he's had somewhat against them all, except when he spoke to the ones there in the Philadelphia church. He said he was pleased with him in somewhat, but he told him, he said he warned him to hold fast to that. Don't give up. Hold fast. Keep in touch with the Savior. Keep our lights burning. Keep our oil in our lamps burning, and not let the enemy of this world, the god of this world, the devil, come in and steal our victory, but to hold fast to that which we have received, Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need to look to him for salvation, and the hope is only in him. Not in the material things of this world, silver and gold. You wasn't bought with that. You were bought with the precious, precious blood of Jesus. You're not your own, but you go your own way. He made us and created us to a free moral agent, you might say. We could choose. And let me encourage you, choose you this day to whom you will serve. As Joshua told the people when they were about to cross over Jordan into the promised land, he said, choose you this day to whom you will serve. The God on the other side, or are you going to serve the God of the new? And he said, as far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right. So now who are you serving? Are you serving the world in Babylon? Or are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth? Have you been born again of the water and of the spirit? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior? Or do you just wishy-washy around with every wind of doctrine, following in man instead of after Christ? My friend, it's time we got a hold of the arm or the horns of the altar, begin to fast and pray. As Joel said, sound the trumpet, call a solemn assembly, let them bridegroom come out of a closet and the bride out of his chamber there. I want you to understand, we need to come out and let God fill us with his spirit, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. He will give us that gift that he has promised, eternal life. He didn't have to do it, my friend, but he chose to do it. He chose us. We didn't choose him, but he chose us. He chose. He made the decision before the foundation of the world to come into this world as a man and die for yours and my sin. He was that perfect sacrifice. The animal, blood of animals and things couldn't satisfy God and for the sins of man. They were just not there. It was not there. But the blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God purposed it in his own mind and in his own heart that he would become as we, a man in the flesh, to come and offer that supreme sacrifice, that wherein that we, that precious blood that he shed would pay for our sins. Silver and gold wouldn't do it. The material things of this life won't do it. But the precious blood of Jesus will cleanse us from our unrighteousness if we'll call on him in faith, believing and trusting in him, and looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, not looking to the man of the flesh, because some of them stands behind the pulpit and tells you all kinds of things. Some of them will make jokes and cracks about things, and people laugh at them and everything. But let me tell you, my friend, they've left their first love, and they've come to love the rudiments of this world. They've come to be in Babylon, and they need to come out. They need to be, as Joel said, sound the trumpet. And that they're in Zion. Let them know. Let them call for a solemn assembly. Let them come out in fasting and praying. Let the preachers and the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ weep and pray and mourn between the altar and the porch, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and repent for themselves and for the congregation, giving God glory and honor and praise, and worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and giving him the honor that he belongs to have, and quit receiving it for themselves. A lot of preachers today is wanting the prestige of the congregation. That's why many of them has got so many in the pews today. But if they stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ and call and make sin sin instead of sugarcoating the message, you'll find that their congregation will grow thinner. Because people don't want to know about their sin. They think they're all right like they are because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the fact that sin, when it's finished, it will bring forth death. And the devil wants to keep that from you. He thinks that he'll make you think that everything's all right. You're all right in the way you are. You go ahead and do these things because, after all, You deserve your rights. It's your right to go to whatever and have a good time, to make these American idols your idols instead of making God your king. It's all right for our young people to go and indulge in all these here gatherings together and everything where there's drinking and drugs and all kinds of stuff involved into it. That's all right. He'll let them believe that. But my friend, when it comes to stand in the presence of the Almighty God, and when they look down and said, Lord, we have cast out devils and we've healed the sick and opened blind eyes and we've done all these wonderful things in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you, because they're still down in Babylon. They're not seeking after the Lord with their whole heart, but yet and still they put themselves up. I have done this and I have done that. My friend, I can do nothing without him. If he doesn't help me in my daily life, I would be useless. He gets me up in the morning, and when I put my feet on the floor, I thank him for the day. I thank him for giving me life, health, and strength. And that's where it all comes from. It don't come from our own initiative that we are somebody or something. Oh, there's many people that wants to climb the ladder of success and think they've done it on their own. Well, if you got there, my friend, and if you got there and didn't give God the praise and the glory, you may get to the top and think that you've done it all by yourself. But when the top falls and you come tumbling down and you hit the ground and you hit it hard, breaking the bones of your body, and then when you find out that you wasn't as good as you thought you was, you wasn't as mighty as you thought you was. And then you begin to realize that you didn't do anything. Only God allowed you to do it, but you didn't give him no praise, so he knocked the prop out from under you and you fell. As it was, he said, as he considered a wise master builder or about building his house upon the rock, because he dug down on the foundation, digging down in the Word of God, digging down and believing what God has done, provided for us, and what he said. And Jesus said he considered to be a wise builder, because he built his house on the rock, and it stood against the pressure, against the wiles of the devil. The storms and the winds blew, but it stood. But then on the other hand, that man that thinks he's done it all by himself, and he built his house on the sand, when the trials of this life come and the winds and the rains blew it down, it fell, and great was the fall. That's that person that claims that he climbed the ladder of success by himself without any assistance from God and didn't give God no praise or honor or no glory. His house will fall one day. He may get to the top and he thinks he's something. He'll stick out his chest and boast on his accomplishments and everything. But when it's all said and done and he hadn't repented and gave God the glory and the praise, and that house falls down, it's going to fall with a loud thump and it's going to be destroyed. It ain't going to be able to stand it. It'll never rise again. That house I'm speaking about, friend, is God spoke about it as a house of clay, a vessel of clay. To have God in our life, we need to have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, in our life to bring us into the place of wherein God said that he would bring us to, by his Spirit, not by power and a might of the arm of man, but by the Spirit of the living God that we've been born in. We need to understand that without him we can do nothing. We need to understand that if it wasn't for him, we would not even exist. Oh, when he said that we're just a vapor, we appear and disappear. That's what life is. When the psalmist penned that I'm just a worm. The earth is my mother and my sister, meaning that we were molded. The first man, Adam, was made of the dust of the earth. God breathed into his nostrils, he became a living soul. But the second Adam was made a quickening spirit. He came and died for you and I, that we could live eternally in the place that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare for you. I believe he's already prepared, but he's waiting, like it was with Noah. And I said before, Noah fell 120 years. And when God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, come into the ark. Noah went in, but the door of opportunity was open for 7 more days. No one entered in it, and God shut the door, and the water began to fall. The fountains of the deep broke open, and the water began to rise. And I believe there was a prayer meeting going on the high hill, but it was too late. Everything went destroyed. It had the breath of life in it, but Noah, his 8 people were saved. I hope there'll be more than the out. From the be saved through the catching away of the bride of Christ. But my friend, we've come so short of the glory of God. We've allowed Babylon to overtake in the churches. We've become sleep at the wheel, so to say. The ministers begin to tell more jokes than to tell the gospel. They begin to bring forth a compromise, and they allow anything and everything to get behind the pulpit and preach and claim that they are recognizing the anointing. If he's a son, and if he's been in the anointing of God and he fell short and went to sleep, you might say, and went back into Babylon, the anointing of God has left him, and there remaineth no more sacrifice. It's impossible for him to be reunited. If he has tasted of the heavenly fruits and known the blessings of God and come to know that salvation cometh only through Jesus Christ, and he turned away from it to his own demise, like a hog to the water, when he's taken out and washed and clean, may take him out. When you come to the place there that he'll turn back into the waller again if you turn him loose, like a dog to his own vomit. These things are just common among the world. But in God's kingdom, there ain't going to be none of this here turning aside. Because you ain't going to get there if you haven't been born again. We got to accept Jesus Christ for our Lord and Savior. We got to believe that he is, was, and always will be the Almighty God. Because it was God that was manifested in the flesh, came and died for you and I on Calvary's cross. And we need to recognize these things. We're following after the old Babylonian Empire. Follow after Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. When he told the man said, I'll follow you wherever there. And he said, the fox have their holes, the birds have the nest, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay down. Count the cost, my friend. It'll cost you the world, but if you lose your life by indulging, you've lost it all. You'll lose your soul in hell. What have you gained? What have you prospered you there? If you gain the whole world and lose your soul and die in the pits of hell, which is the second death, my friend, what have you gained? But if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body, calling upon him and serving him in the beauty of holiness, cleaving unto him for his righteousness. And when we look at the scriptures and believe what the word of God said, looking unto him for salvation, because there's no salvation in any other name other than Jesus Christ. And if we believe what the scripture says, take it to heart, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can enter into that kingdom through the door. Because there's no back door, there's no window, there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one that has this extreme power. As he told Pilate there, Pilate said, don't you know that I have power to set you free or crucify you? And when Jesus told him, he said, you would have no power except it be given to you from above. The above, he meant from the throne of grace. My friend, no man can kill the soul. He may kill this old body. But why fear that? But he said, fear not the man that can kill the body, but fear him that can destroy the body and soul in hell, which is God himself. We need to understand that we need to repent. We need revival to come across the land, a true revival, not someone coming up and all he's after is the monetary things and everything, but a true revival. As he said, to blow the trumpet, sound the solemn assembly, call for the fast of the congregation, let them gather together, and there weep before the altar in the porch as the ministers crying out to God, seeking after the Spirit of the living God that would lead us and bring us into the place. You can't come to God unless the Spirit draweth him, and the Holy Ghost is sitting back waiting upon you and I. And if we don't call upon him and look to him, he's not going to force himself upon us. You wouldn't go to my ice cream party if you wasn't invited and kick the door down and come in there and eat ice cream if you wasn't invited. And he says he stands at the door knocking. And opens unto him, he will come in and sup with him, and he with him. But if you don't open your heart and let him come in, he's not going to come and force his way into you. It's open to you, my friend. The door of opportunity is opening, but it's coming to a place that we're in that it will be closed, as it was on the days of Noah when he closed the door of opportunity. And when the time comes and the last call has went out and it's about to come, my friend, and he called us in to repent. And if we don't receive it and we have the door of opportunity be closed and he begins to pour out his wrath upon them that have took the mark of the beast and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's going to pour out his wrath upon them, and them that know not God is going to suffer the consequences. They're going to be cast into hell and outer darkness with the devil and all the false prophets and all other sinners that fail to call upon. He's not going to tolerate this sin much longer. He's getting sick of it. He tolerated it with Sodom and Gomorrah for a while. But the sound came up, the cries came up, the stink of the sins became a stink in his nostrils. He came, and Abraham said, for 10? He never went no further. There was only 8 in the that was saved in the flood, and there was only 3 that really got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then they turned into the sins and brought forth illegitimate children or incest children, and was there. My friend, it's time that we got a hold of the horns of the altar, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent! Come out of the old Babylonian teachings and doctrines of the devils, and that of the Catholicism and all these other false teachings and doctrines. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent! There's only one gospel, and that's of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. The apostles taught the same thing. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, but he went into Egypt over there, or into the Babylon, or you might call it. He went out into the Sahara Desert, but there he met the Lord, and God gave him that initiative to preach his gospel. He gave him the ability to stand up there for him and his righteousness. And Paul denied the things that he had in the world, but he gave it all up. Denying the things that was back behind him, forgetting those things, but pressing toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. But there's so many of them that's involved in these things. This preacher's got to have the biggest congregation and the biggest, nicest, biggest church. They used to go out into temple. People were born again, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Now they think that they got to have the greatest church in the city, the biggest one, the biggest congregation, when the Lord said, where there is 2 or 3 gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst also. I'd rather be in the congregation where God is than with thousands and thousands of them there and God not be with it. My friend, it's time we got a hold of God with our whole heart, seeking after him and crying out to him in repentance. And to be godly sorrow, calling for a solemn assembly, calling for revival, praying and seeking God with our whole heart, asking him to bring us nigh to the altar of repentance, that we forsake not him and his ways. We're living in the last days, my friend. Time is running short. We're coming to the place of the close of the age. Things are mounting up worse and worse all the time. All these things that are happening that the Bible speaks about is upon us. Can't you understand? Can't you know by the reading of the word, or unless you're just so self-righteous that you don't need God? You think God is so loving? His mercy and His grace is so efficient for you that you can continue on your way and do what you please. And God's going to say, well, I'm so merciful, I'm going to let you come in anyway. I don't think so. Don't be fooled by that yin that the devil is teaching you and that concept that you may conceive in your mind or your heart, because it's been implanted there by the seed of unrighteousness. Oh, the faith that God gave to a man, you need to plant it into the salvation of God and let that little mustard grain faith come forth and bring fruits of the repentance and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't going to get into the kingdom of God no other way, my friend. The grace of God, as Paul made mention about, shall we continue in our sins that grace may abound? God forbid. You cannot rely upon God's grace to cover you in your sins when He's not going to do it. My friend, we need to repent. We need to have that sweeping revival. We need these preachers that pastors of these churches to say, I got it all. I don't need nothing else. You just listen to me. If I can't feed you, you need to find some other place to go. If you don't believe what I say, then you're lost anyway, so there ain't no need of you being anything. We need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him bring us to the truth of the Word of God, allowing Him to come into our life. That He said, we have received of His Spirit, the Holy Ghost would lead and guide us into all truth. He even asked us to call for the old ways and walk therein. They, the world today, the Laodicean church where we at today is so lukewarm. They said, no, we're not going to ask for it, neither we will walk in it. We got our ways and we continue to walk in our ways. We're going to make it anyway, as I've heard people to say. I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. The devil is his father. He called us to repent. He said it's not His will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if He's made these statements in the Word of God, which He has, I've read them, He ain't going to forgive you. He ain't going to take you into the kingdom of God with your sins and all of your worldly habits and everything, and you're going to throw them down at the gate. You ain't going to get to the gate. You got to repent first. And even the best we can do, as He said, at the best we can do, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will this sinner and the ungodly appear? They're going to appear in the judgment seat of God, and He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and are saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to accept the atoning price He paid, the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all of our unrighteousness. Lie not, don't deceive your neighbor, don't cherish the things of the world, but seek after the kingdom of God with our whole heart. Our time is about gone, and we just pray that God will touch your life. We would that you would write to us. We get emails from the place that puts it out on the air for us from time to time, but it gives us no place that we can answer you back. It makes me wonder about it, but nevertheless, if you want to email us, email will be given unto you. And we pray that God will richly bless you, my friend, and keep you, is our prayers. And may God bless you and bring you to the place to wherein you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. My wife will give you the address and everything. Write to us if you will. We're not begging you for the money, just asking you to pray and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. May God bless you.
I want to share something with you. It was a tract, brother, that passed on about a year or so ago. But it's called Label It Sin. The late Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman used to tell of a preacher who often spoke on the subject of sin. He minced no words, but defined sin as that abominable thing that God hates. A leader in his congregation came to him on one occasion and urged him to cease using the ugly word sin. He said, Dr. Blank, we wish you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people hearing you will be more likely to indulge in sin. Call it something else, like inhibition, error or mistake or even a twist in our nature. I understand what you mean, the preacher remarked, and going to his desk, brought out a little bottle. This bottle, he said, contains strychnine. You will read the red label here that says poison. Would you suggest I change the label and paste one on that says wintergreen? The more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose will be. Beware of those who make light of what God hates. And we just thank you this afternoon again that you've tuned in. We pray the message has been a help getting you closer to the coming of the Lord. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that's Luke 13:3. And if you would care to write to us, we need some encouragement. Yeah, it's a little bit discouraging whenever we don't hear from anybody. You can give us feedback. You like us, you don't like us. That's all right. But email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. The address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. If you live in the Tampa area and you want to know where our church is that we preach and I try to sing, where we know the Spirit of God is, you email us and we'll give you the address, the time and directions and everything. Until next week, may God bless you. In Jesus' name, we love you.
Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And life